Yes.
Good morning. We would like to put forward the agenda paper 11B. Paper consists of some of the sweep issues that we thought we should bring back to the board after going through some of the review comments that we got. Most of the comments are stemming from the external reviewers who had read the pre-ballot draft of the final IS7 amendments that we circulated. We noted that most reviewers who, unlike the board members, were not continuously engaged in the drafting and the initial discussions, were accommodating towards our approach of having a disclosure objective and other clarifying paragraphs included. They had some suggestions, and most of those suggestions were either to clarify what was already there or to provide some editorial recorrections. The two main points that came out as more towards clarifying what was already there was to provide that the reconciliation is not the only form that the entity may follow in order to meet the disclosure objective, and also that the categories that were listed as possible movements were not an exhaustive list of items to be included in the reconciliation. So we've attached in the Appendix A to the paper sort of the drafting of the wording as we see, and we provided that for the informational benefit of the board members. However, the main reason why we brought a sweep issue back to the board was that some of the external reviewers were kind of warning us or cautioning us against providing specific guidance on supplementary information. And there were two causes of concern. One was that it may undermine what's already there in IS1 as to providing additional information, and also the fact that distinguishing information which were additional from the core disclosure would be difficult in certain circumstances. And I know that there were some board members who also kind of cited that, especially when it comes to providing this disclosure as a narrative paragraph, would be difficult to distinguish it from what the requirement is asking for. So noting these comments, we wanted to get the board members' views. We have a question in page number 4, and we would also get your comments on how would you do that.
Thanks. A couple of thoughts, and they're sort of slightly interrelated, I think, on the two different parts of the paper. My preference would be that it's clear that if somebody's looked at the objective and concluded that they need to provide a reconciliation in order to meet the objective, that it's clear what that reconciliation contains. So saying that a reconciliation shall include particular items, if you need to provide a reconciliation to meet the objective, to me wouldn't be inconsistent with using an objective-based approach. Might need to rejig the drafting a little bit to achieve that, but I think that a lot of investors I talk to like the fact that if information is provided, it's done in a way that they can make comparisons. So if we could achieve that balance, I'd be supportive of that. Sort of relatedly, on this point about the supplementary information, I thought one of the things we were trying to make clear was that if people felt that they needed to add extra things, so for example, if the banks felt they needed to include information about, I don't know, hybrid equity instruments or something like that, that wouldn't necessarily be automatically scoped in, that we wanted it to be clear that everybody should be providing their reconciliation on the same way, and then in addition, some might have extra line items underneath, for example. I just worry a little bit that if it's just in the basis, that it may enable them to commingle in the reconciliation.
Should there be clarification as distinguishing that? Should we just mention that additional information? Because I think that's the point where we got sort of comments on how would you distinguish that, and would that be kind of a would that be distracting somebody from getting into the core numbers?
Certainly when I was thinking about it in the past, I thought that we were thinking that everybody would provide a reconciliation in a similar way that was linked to the financing activities, but then you could sort of add on.
Yeah.
So you had a comparison of the base information and an add on. So my preference would be somehow to make it clear that
Christy's frowning at me,
that we have an add-on, because I don't really want there to suddenly be no way of really comparing, because some people have got additional items included in the other line items that they can't distinguish. So I don't really buy this clutter argument.
I just want, the reason why I was just trying to work out whether I was thinking the same thing that you were thinking. So I think there's what's within the reconciliation. So if you take the reconciliation between the opening and closing balances, so the line items within that reconciliation, which I think is what you're talking about, which is different from what I think Arjuna was talking about, which is given that if somebody wants to add in something that's in operating activities but thinks it is part of its debt or for some reason wants it to be included, that would be additional
below that. I mean that.
You mean the latter point. Good.
And I think the problem was that, and the pushback we got was that where you don't provide the reconciliation, you decide on another form to provide content to achieve the objective, then how do you do the distinguishing? And exactly how in the financial statements would you say, or would you need to say in the financial statements, this is the minimum requirement, this is the extra? And that was the pushback we got from the external reviewers.
Okay. I was more focused on the reconciliation.
I think when you have the reconciliation, if you had if you say these are the minimum requirements, then it's kind of easier. But it's when, because we've got the objective and we don't say you have to do the reconciliation, that you get the problem.
Pat?
I'm not enthusiastic about the direction we're going here. I'm still, you know, on the fence about whether or not I want to fully endorse this approach. The reason is that as the conversation we just had on disclosures and how we might redraft, I think this is a good example of where not being prescriptive could in fact elicit tremendous disparity across a lot of different reporting entities that will not produce comparable and useful information. We're not prescribing a reconciliation. This project started out as, you know, providing a reconciliation. We're not doing that anymore. We're also suggesting that you can enhance this disclosure with supplementary information. I worry about whether or not someone will introduce non-GAAP information, which will now be sanctioned by the standard. And so it just seems really wishy-washy in terms of, you know, where we are relative to other disclosure requirements that we've introduced in other projects. So I'm kind of along the lines of where Sue is. If we were to prescribe a reconciliation that was standardized, that had required elements that everybody had to do, and there was no possibility of supplementary information, I think people would be clear how to do it, they'd get on with life and they'd just do it. And the reason we are introducing this requirement is because it provides useful information. But we're not doing that. So I actually think when you do the postmortem on this standard, the PIR, you're going to find out you have a whole bunch of a lot of different things, and it's not going to necessarily produce comparable and consistent information. And more importantly, useful information.
Stephen?
I kind of agree with a lot of what Pat said. The objective is to help users to evaluate changes in liabilities. Firstly, I don't like the word help because any small thing might help, so enable would perhaps be better. But if we want them to understand a change in a liability, how else would they achieve that other than through a reconciliation? So I've never quite understood the one way in which an entity can fulfill this is a reconciliation. I mean, how else would you do it? The only other way I can think of is that you write out in long form in a paragraph a reconciliation. So the opening balance was, and we have cash flows of this and non-cash items of that, and the closing balance is so-and-so, which doesn't seem a particularly helpful way of providing the information. So if we're after a reconciliation, why don't we just say it? Why say one way of doing it? If it's not material for an entity, fine, they don't give the information, but let's be specific about it. I also agree with Sue that we should be clear on what the core is, I'm happy for people to add on other things. There are many line items in the balance sheet which aren't reconciled. Adding in a reconciliation for another line item, I think, is likely to be good information. I'd like more line items reconciled between opening and closing in the balance sheet. But I think it has to be clear what is the core disclosure, which is reconciling the financing items, and then what is additional reconciliations that are being provided on top of that. One last comment on 44B. I don't like the word other in here, because that's an invitation to have changes in financing cash flows, changes because of the subsidiaries' business combinations, and then one item of other. We've already said in the lead-in paragraph, include but not limited to, so why don't we just list out the two items which are included in three as three and four? Why do we have to even use the word other? Because it says in the introduction that this is just is what it includes. So I'd have the effect of foreign exchange rates and changes in fair values as three and four, and then not have the word other.
Philippe?
Well, on this matter, it seems to me we are reopening a discussion of the board. It seems to me we had agreed that a standardized reconciliation table was not what we had in mind, that it was one way to achieve an objective. So we seem to be going back to that discussion. And I must say I was initially against providing a formal standardized reconciliation. I then agreed with the staff I would not dissent to the proposals because it was more flexible. Now if we go back to asking for a standardized reconciliation, I would have to dissent again to go back to my initial position. I think the reason why I'm not a big fan of prescribing a standard reconciliation table is that, as just you alluded to, Steve, there are some immaterial items. And if you do a reconciliation table, it has to foot and cross-foot in all ways. So either you have a plug because you don't want to go into the details of every small tiny item, and there is other, which is kind of balancing amount, not very nice, or you focus on what is material and useful to understand, i.e. I took a new borrowing that much, I repaid that much, and that could be given in a quantitative form. I agree the information must be quantified, not just narrative. Maybe there is a way to do that, saying an entity shall provide both quantitative and narrative information, just to focus to the fact there must be figures. Should we go as far as asking for a table that has to foot and cross foot in all respects, given the complexity in certain groups where you have movements in perimeter, translation differences, repayments of amounts, etc., asking for a formal reconciliation table might be extremely costly and might not provide much more than focusing on the big things. So I think we have reached a proper balance, saying reconciliation. I would not disagree with saying quantitative and narrative. By the way, 44E speaks about disclosing amounts, which imply there must be amounts in this provision of disclosures. Why not say it right at the front, saying amounts and explanations? So I think I will not move away from where we are at the moment, which is, I think, a balanced requirement. Otherwise, regarding the paper, it seems a bit strange that you're asking a question on the basis for conclusion, and then you have the second part of the paper with no questions to the board. Does it mean that you're sure we would say yes, or?
No. We would always go through the belting process. This drafting was for the informational purposes, but.
It seems to me the second discussion is much more than just for information. There are views among the board members.
Mary.
2 points, you know, about how we approach the problem. It struck me that I think we need to say explicitly that an entity should provide a total or subtotal of the items relating to financing activities. And I'm ducking for a moment the question of do you mandate a disclosure or not, but I think the point we're trying to get to in terms of permitting supplemental information if entities think that's useful, but not having that mask the information that people are trying to get to, is saying at the core of this is a is a desire for changes in financing activities. So I think we have to I think we should address the issue you raised, not just by a discussion, in the basis for conclusion, mm-hmm. confirming the ability, but to have additional items included in the discussion, but rather to say, but you got to give a total for this core amount, and then you could go on to say this doesn't preclude providing other information as well, but give people the core. And in terms of, we're seeing why we don't have example drafts on things, because we're going to start getting into board discussion of drafting. But as I look at the appendix, an overall comment I have is, if I look at 44 big A, maybe what we have to do is think about phrasing it as disclosure should be provided to enable users to evaluate changes in liabilities from financing. Normally this is done in the form of a reconciliation, and so it's that qualification of that's how you usually do it, doesn't preclude somebody from doing it another way if they think they can satisfy the objective in another way. But even if they do it in another way, I think we want to get a total for the financing bit. And then say, and yes, you can go on to pull in other, cash equivalents, et cetera, if you want to do, net movements.
Doc.
Thank you. I really, really appreciate staff's effort to achieve kind of objective-based disclosure. And that I really appreciate this improvement. I think this is the improvement. Having said that, I would say that, unfortunately, objective itself is wrong, and because you are saying that you have to explain the financing activity as defined in the IS-7, but we have a different objective. So therefore, that makes a lot of confusion. That's why we have to ask, supplemental information. So the cause came from the IS-7. So as long as we stick to IS-7, we cannot achieve objective-based disclosure, and we cannot achieve proper comparable disclosures. So that's why I suggested we should depart from the IS-7 and rather simply ask the objective-based disclosure. That would be much better. So unfortunately, I still need to dissent.
Gary?
Just a couple of comments, because as I listened to Philippe and Stephen about should we just say it, we must do a merit reconciliation versus being prescriptive and versus giving some flexibility. Much as my heart is sort of where Stephen is, I think I'm coming down where Philippe is. I think we should try not to be prescriptive. I really do believe that if these are consequential or material, is a reconciliation is going to be the natural, outcome 99% of the time. So in that sense, it's just easy, it's quick, you don't need a lot of narrative and so on. That's where practice will emerge. So, sort of agree with Stephen. I think you'll get the results you wanted, but I think we can provide a bit of flexibility in the words.
Mary's words would normally result in.
Yeah, I think it will normally result. Yeah. Now, whether we should say that or just to let practice evolve, because
you wouldn't put that in an
objection. No, I wouldn't, because it will normally result. That's direction to me. If it was on the other side receiving it. I think, to me, actually, more importantly, and I've made this comment in the board advisors meetings. If you're in paragraph 44B, changes from financing cash flows, I still think an example of a reconciliation should gross inflows of cash and gross outflows of cash, I think is more important to see the act. You can come to the same net amount with very big changes or very small changes in activity. I think to the staff question, bottom paragraph 16, actually, I personally think the guidance should be in the standard itself, not the basis. I wouldn't object if that's where we came out. Because as I look at paragraph 14, your concern about unintended consequences about stating explicitly, you can provide supplemental information. But I think your supplement information is asked for implicitly in any of our standards. Anytime you say at a minimum, there's an invite to disclose more than you prescribe. To me, that's all supplementary if you want to think about it a little more broadly. So I would prefer to be in the standard as opposed to basis. Again, I wouldn't have dissent if it wasn't, but that would be my preference.
I just have a problem with the terms will normally. That is a requirement that is seen by auditors and regulators as a requirement. We go back to the previous discussion we had a moment ago on the disclosures. When we say shall or should or will normally, so the same for regulators, it is a must. So I think either we say you must or you say that a reconciliation is usual.
Well, we've got it in 44C, haven't we? One way.
I'm quite happy, but there was a suggestion to say, Mary said, replace it with will normally be a reconciliation. It's quite different from one way to do it. And maybe you could say one good way to do it, I don't object, but will normally, if you don't do it, you are abnormal.
We don't want that. Steven?
I don't understand this reluctance to just require a reconciliation. IES 19, an entity shall provide a reconciliation. IES 37, for each class provision, an entity shall disclose a reconciliation effectively. I mean, are we going to rewrite these and say an entity shall consider? I mean, would that really help sort of financial reporting? And if we if there isn't a reconciliation, I'm still unclear as to what the alternative is. What would it actually look like to meet the objective and not provide a reconciliation? What is the 1% of cases?
Well, I think it'd be a long textual paragraph or
but
two.
But is that really going to help investors finding this information?
No, that's why I believe practice is going to make reconciliation.
So why don't we just say it?
Darren?
I had thought that one of the reasons why we had been reluctant to specify a reconciliation was the feedback that we had heard from financial institutions saying they didn't know how they would apply this reconciliation in their circumstances because of the perhaps definition around financing, the view of how cash moves in financial institutions and the like. I'd also thought that they had raised the objection that they felt that they were providing a heck of a lot of liquidity type information that they felt in many cases provided exactly what you're looking for here without using a reconciliation. And so I think when we discussed this previously, we discussed the objective of the view of either trying to exempt a financial institution, which we felt was an unacceptable type of outcome, or using this type of terminology to allow that slight difference in view if you were a financial institution. I don't necessarily object to what Steve's saying, but I think that a point that Philippe made earlier is really important. We went through this whole discussion a couple of months ago. We came to a conclusion. My understanding of this paper is words we should use to reflect the conclusion we've already arrived at. And I think we need to be a little bit careful about then on the fly kind of changing what was a significant decision because we worried about one or two words in a sentence.
Why then was this brought back?
Because we didn't like the word may.
The reason we brought it, what Daryl said is completely right. The reason that we went down having an objective and not saying shall provide a reconciliation was to address the feedback from the financial institutions, and in particular their concern that a reconciliation of just financing liabilities wouldn't give an overall picture of their capital structure. So we went, that was right. We didn't bring that point back to the board because we felt the board's decision was clear previously. We brought back the point on not specifically staying in the standard that you could provide additional information because we'd had this feedback from the external reviewers. And their concern was not so much, I think, that you could provide supplementary information, but how you distinguished what was required from what was supplementary. So if the board feels strongly that they want to say in the standard you can provide supplementary information, we could say that but not make the second point about it should be distinguished. Now I take the point that that might mean that some people bring into the reconciliation and you won't be able to clearly reconcile back to financing on the cash flow statement. But we could try to meet the board's objective halfway that way, but we were not asking for the board to rediscuss whether to have a disclosure objective.
Okay, so let's not do that.
Yeah.
Let's not rediscuss the...
But I don't think the board agrees with that. I mean, I know that people have come back and said they'd prefer not to have to make the distinction, but I think while the board was while I was sympathetic to not everybody needing to provide a reconciliation, I thought we did want it to be clear what the bit was that was going on with financing. So we said, okay, if you don't think that's a complete picture, you can provide extra stuff. But certainly I thought that that was in the context of you still needed to be able to see the financing bit. So if you're asking me, am I happy because people would prefer not to have to make that distinction, my answer is no, I'm not happy. I'd rather stick with what we required in the first place, was proposed in the first place. Mm.
Mary?
If I may, just piling on, I put my card up because you just said in your recap, we don't have to require distinguishing the financing, and I take our original decision plus the feedback we had on the external review is coming together and saying you need to set up a requirement to distinguish the financing activities. That wouldn't preclude having additional information. I'm less fussed about that's a where question, but the lesson from all of this in terms of sweep issue is I think we have to be explicit about distinguishing the financing. I didn't utter the R word.
A bit concerned about the process and the timing. Some of us have already given our ballot forms. I don't want us to make changes significant after that, or you have to give me back my ballot.
No, we haven't got
a ballot.
We haven't issued
ballot.
Yeah, we haven't issued ballot forms.
And this week? No, end of this week.
We haven't balloted on this one.
No, we haven't.
We haven't balloted on this one yet.
Well, no, there was a deadline, which is another week, but some of us gave the ballot as soon as we received the document. So,
end of this week.
Given my ballot.
We haven't
got the ballot drafts yet.
Yeah, we haven't got it.
Okay. Conclusion, staff?
I think what I'm hearing is people want to be able to see the subtotal for financing so that you can distinguish. So in terms of the question we ask the board, in effect the board is saying no, we still would prefer to have in there the requirement to see the subtotal. I'm not quite sure that, I think we've agreed we're not going to open the question about the objective.
I think what came off was that we need to make it clear that we need to make the distinct or to have a specific wording in there to distinguish supplementary information, additional information as well.
I think we should actually have a vote on the question.
Yeah,
that would be good.
At least we know the requirements.
Okay, let's do that. So who agrees with the staff recommendation?
Would you want to...
Then distinct isn't in the document, is it?
Yeah, I think we just want to ask the question now. Since the idea was to distinguish and have supplementary information available, so would that be the way the board want to move forward? Not in the question we say put it in the basis.
Can I just sort of say what I think the question would be? Does the ISB agree with the staff recommendation to retain the discussion of the supplementary information in the basis for conclusions, provided it's clear or it's explicit in the standard that you need to provide the subtotal and total of the financing?
Yes.
Yeah. Can you try to be more specific on that last bit? Because
saying explicit about, I'm trying to use Mary's words here, explicit about distinguishing the total for the financing activities.
I mean, we've got paragraph 44E, so it's really just building on paragraph 44E.
Yeah, well, I think it's more than 44E.
Yeah, I think that's what it said, it's building on.
Yeah.
So, with this addition,
Who's in favour? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 11, 12 in favour.
All right.
Great.
That's it, Mark. Let's take a break till 11:05.